This morning's reading is taken from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. Life by the Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Amen.
Just before Liam... Oh, I suppose you're nice to be in front of the camera, didn't I? Just before Liam preaches, I'm going to pray for him.
Oh, thank you.
Heavenly Father, do thank you for Liam and that you've brought him here. And thank you that you've given him your word today. And I pray for his anointing, for your anointing upon him. Lord, open our hearts to your word. And may as a result of this, we be people who show the fruit of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Simon. Good morning. Lovely to see you. Now, I've been told there's a scoring system at the end of this. So hopefully we'll do okay. Before I start, I just want to give you just a little bit of context as to why I have chosen to speak on the fruits of the Spirit this morning. A couple of weeks ago, in fact, the Friday before our day of prayer on the Saturday, I had a conversation with someone who was reading through the Alpha booklet, and they stopped me and they said, "Can I speak to you about the Holy Spirit?" And I said, "Yes, of course." And do you know what I did straight away? I jumped to the gifts. But that's not what the book was speaking to this person about. It was about the fruits. And I thought, I've missed the trick here. What I'm looking for the gifts before I found the fruits. And that got me thinking. I was away over that weekend. We had the prayer day. I was in Salisbury. I was playing my first gig of the year. Wonderfully normal, wonderful to see good friends. And I was praying on the way down to Salisbury, and it's about a four-hour drive, so I had a decent time with the Lord. And I was praying about the replenishment of our church, the replenishment of our community. And I thought, yeah, the fruits. We need the fruits. We need to be people that are bearing those fruits so that we can not only be replenished ourselves, which is important, and we've spent a lot of time having to deal with ourselves, haven't we? We've been in our homes. We've had to look after our families. We've had to do what's right for us as individuals. But our replenishment needs to be more than that. It needs to be, how do we take that replenishment here and how do we take it out into the world? So I was praying on that and I felt really convicted that you know, that was important. And on the way down, I thought, these people who I'm seeing, they've known me since I was about 23, 24, which I hate to admit is about 13 years, because yes, I am that old. Shut up, Barry. Now, these people love me. They are such dear, dear friends. And they've always loved me. But I thought, when I'm with them today, when I am now, you know, when I first met them, I wasn't really living life as a Christian. You wouldn't have known I was a follower of Jesus unless I told you. Nothing about me was saying that to people. I was a decent person, but it wasn't obvious that I was a follower of Jesus. And I thought, on the way down, I want to make a real effort. I really want my friends to see something different about me. And I'm going to come to that later. I'll tell you how I did later. So anyway, here is my written part of my talk. Although before I start, I found out this morning that Brian and Catherine have an apple tree in their garden. So please don't answer this first bit. Here we go. How do we distinguish a fruit-bearing tree from a non-fruit-bearing tree? Well, see, now, if you're like me, Barry, and you don't know anything about trees at all, there's only one way that you can tell if it's a fruit-bearing tree or not a fruit-bearing tree, and that is that it's got fruit. Now, obviously, I know that fruit trees have seasons, and I'm not saying that an apple tree, for instance, that doesn't have an apple on it isn't an apple tree. I just wouldn't know that it is one. It's the fruit on the tree that helps me to see what it is. It helps me to identify that tree is an apple tree. My next question, how do we identify a follower of Jesus? Is it by the fish stuck on the back of their car? You know, when you're following someone and you think, oh, there's a Christian in the front, nice. Is it by the crucifix worn around someone's neck? Well, I can tell you my little brother wears a rosary. He's not Catholic, and I don't know if he knows Jesus, but he wears that because it's something about something cool and young, and I don't know, but that doesn't mean he's a Christian. Is it the fact that people come to church on a Sunday? No, not necessarily. We know lots of people who are exploring faith, who aren't yet followers of Jesus, who maybe just love and appreciate the community and the sense of being with others. We recognize, we identify Christians, followers of Jesus, by the fruits they bear in their lives, the fruits of the Spirit. Now, I'm guilty of this, but I think we can all be sometimes guilty of relegating the fruits of the Spirit to just something that we teach our children and our young people, almost the little brother to the gifts of the Spirit. But this morning, I really want to challenge us. I want to challenge this, and I want to make a case for them to be something we start to take more seriously, something that we start to look for, to strive for, recognizing in each other and encouraging in each other. Now, please do not get me wrong. I'm not a cessationist. I think the work of the gifts of the Spirit are alive and present and are wonderful. And we want to have them. I'm all for seeing and experiencing the gifts of the Spirit, for each of us to have that personal experience of God's power in our lives, and to be, as Simon said a couple of weeks ago, expectant for what God can do through the Spirit, to do the incredible and the miraculous. Now, here's my... when I spoke with Simon the other day, he was giving me some gentle mentoring about putting sermons together. And he said, write out your sermon in one line. Now, this is my one line. So I've got more to say, but this is my one line. This is my takeaway today. The greatest manifestation of our relationship with God will not come through the gifts of the Spirit, but through the fruits. This is how the world will know who we follow. This is how and why people will look at us and say, there is something different about them. Our personal experience of God is, of course, so very important. Anyone here that has ever been to anything youth-related or basically anything I've ever done will know how much I bang on about personal relationship with God. Yes, we want that. We need that. God calls us into it. And God, God wants that personal relationship with us so much He gave his son for us on the cross. Like, the personal relationship, our personal experience of God isn't something to be, I'm not saying it's not a good thing, it's a wonderful thing, but we cannot grow through experience alone. And this is something, as a youth worker, I genuinely feel concerned about for some young Christians. There are many young Christians or young people who come to faith, who give themselves to Jesus at a big church event. Wonderful. Like, however you do it, give your life to Jesus. That's what we want. You know, the experience of God moving in those places is powerful. There is a tangible sense of the Holy Spirit at work. But then they come back to their home churches. Then they come back to normal Sunday, normal youth group, normal, not particularly exciting, uncharismatic youth leaders. You know, that's what they've got. And look, they long for the experience. They long for the excitement. And that is not wrong. Like, we want them, as Simon said the other day, we want to be expectant. We want to be people who are praying for those experiences, for the gifts to be present in our lives. But the reality is, it's not always going to be like that. So we need to be able to be excited about what God is doing in the everyday. To rejoice when we see ourselves or our sisters and brothers in faith bearing the fruits of the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. That's how our reading starts today. Not have one big moment, but live by the Spirit. Or some translations will say walk in the Spirit. This is how we live our everyday, not just for an hour or so on a Sunday or when the Spirit moves in our lives in this big way. It has to be our foundation. It is in every interaction that we have in the world. It is in the way that we speak to people. It's in the way that we drive our cars. And please let me just like break off for a second and challenge yourselves. Drive with the fruits of the Spirit. Right, it's harder than you think. Don't get frustrated. Honestly, if you want to test yourself on the fruits of the Spirit, think about it when you're driving, those of you who drive, because it is a real thing. Many of these Christians who we have with the fish on the back of their car, they are not driving with the fruits of the Spirit, let me tell you. Anyway, it's in the way that we give, that we encourage, that we forgive. The fruits of the Spirit, let's be honest, it might not feel as exciting as the gifts, but they are essential to our walk with God. They are revealing something of his nature through us and our actions. They are equipping us to resist the temptations of the flesh, to live differently in the world, not of it. I think that's the right way around, but I think you know what I mean. Now, when Paul writes about the works of the flesh to the Galatians, he is really clear that the list he is giving them is not an exhaustive one. I think that's the right way of saying that word. You know, he gives example, 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 and he finishes it with, and things like these. We live in a fallen world. We are sinful people. And just because we are Christians and we're followers of Jesus and we've given ourselves to him, it doesn't mean that the works of the flesh, the temptations of the world are not there. We don't get away from them. But we do have the power to overcome them through the Holy Spirit in our lives. And yeah, I'm going to just bring, I wasn't going to, but I spoke about this with Simon this morning, and I think it is something that God has put on my heart to share. One of them is envy. Now, I think that's one of the works of the flesh that we can all say, yes, I've been envious. And at this time, in this pandemic, something that I really want us, I feel God has said to me this morning to share is, I think churches have been envious of other churches. I think we have looked on at other people and seen the bells and the whistles, the awesome preaching, the lights, all the fancy stuff. And yeah, those things are awesome, and we want to see more of them. And if we can look at them and go, how can we incorporate that into our fellowship? Wonderful. But let's not be envious of other churches, because you know what other churches don't have? They don't have us. We are family. We are fellowship. We are a people that are walking in faith, in the Spirit together. that's a massively important thing. It's not wrong to look and to learn from other people, but let's recognize what we have, because the family and the sense of fellowship is so, so important. Right, back on. Will we muck up? Will I look at a church service tomorrow online and go, oh, he's good. Oh, I wish I could speak like him. Of course I will. Like, we will muck up. But does that mean we're going to stop trying? No. No, of course it's not. What we need to do is we need to make sure that we are each day striving to bear more fruit, each day trying to be a bit more like Jesus, each day demonstrating to the world that we have something in our lives that makes us stand out, that makes us distinguishable. Now, is that a real word? Wicked. I read that this morning and thought, oh, because if it's wrong, Mel would tell me off for my grammar. But no, we want to be distinguishable as followers of Christ. Now, those works of the Spirit, that verse 19 to 21, genuinely, for me, some of the scariest bits of Scripture. Okay? Because particularly at the end, let's just grab it out quick. That last line, he goes through the list, and then he says, oh, gosh, I'm using a different Bible to the one I was using. I'll let you know again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you can go through that list and hear that at the end and think, well, that's me done. I mean, I've just told you, I've been envious. That's not what Paul's saying. Okay, but what Paul is saying here is about not living that life. Basically, we need to make sure that that is not the thing that people see when they look at us. When they see us, if they see someone who is a drunkard or someone who is abusive or cheating or unkind, right, they see that that's how we live our life. That's what we need to not be doing. Jesus teaches us that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. And in your flesh, you can do nothing. Well, this is why we must give our lives to Jesus, to be reborn in him, to be filled with the Spirit, because God knows that we can't do it by ourselves, and he doesn't expect us to. He is giving us the Spirit, so let's receive it gladly and put it to good use. Something that struck me like really vividly over the last few months, when I've been doing sort of the talks for the youth service or at the hub, or I've been going into school again, praise the Lord, it's that we have to actively participate in God's kingdom's work. We cannot just be observers. We can't just stand on the sidelines and watch God do his thing. No, we have to take part. We must make an effort. We have roles to play. And this is true of the fruits of the Spirit. Now, a gift is given, but a fruit is worked for. And it's up to each of us to understand and to seek the fruits of the Spirit. It's up to each of us to recognize where we might be falling short and to work on nurturing the fruit in our lives. Working for something might not be as much fun as receiving. But with work comes satisfaction. It comes honesty and integrity. And in the case of the fruits of the Spirit, a closer relationship with God and with each other. So God might grant me a spiritual gift, a blessing on me personally. But if I do not have and bear the fruits of the Spirit, then how am I honoring and glorifying him in my life? Jesus gives us a really clear teaching on this in Matthew 7, 15 to 20. If I can find it. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really wolves that will tear you apart. You can detect them by the way they act, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit. You don't pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. A healthy tree produces good fruit, and an unhealthy tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, but a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, the way to identify a tree or a person is by the kind of fruit that is produced. And I'll tell you something. I want to be a good tree. I want to produce good fruit. I want to honor and glorify God in all that I do. I want to be obviously different to my friends that don't know Jesus. I want other Christians to recognize something of Jesus in the way I live my day to day. I want to live by the Spirit and to be guided by the Spirit. Now, this might sound strange, but then I thought to myself while I was planning this preach, how do I want to be remembered? Like, when I go and meet God, and I've left whoever I've left behind, how do I want to be remembered? Now, do I want to be remembered as a gifted teacher or preacher? I mean, there are worse things, I suppose. Successful and wealthy? No, not really. I mean, I'm working for the church. It's not very likely, is it? Someone who is loving. Yeah. Someone who is joyful. Yeah. Someone who was peaceful and patient, who was kind, generous, faithful, gentle, and had self-control. Yes, yes, please, Lord. Let that be how I am remembered. Let that be how people see me now. This is what we should be striving for. This is how others will distinguish us as followers of Jesus Christ. This is how our relationship with God will manifest itself. Through the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits that we bear in the everyday, in the mundane, in every interaction we have, honoring and glorifying God in all that we do. Let's look for them, all right, in the lives of each other and of ourselves. Let's encourage each other and with love and gentleness. Let's correct each other when we need to. There's nothing wrong with correction. Let's make sure that we're working together to really show and bear these fruits, not just in this place, but out there. Let these fruits be what defines us, what makes us stand out. Let us live in the Spirit and be guided by the Spirit. Now, this is just as my sort of general encouragement. The fruits of the Spirit are so evident in this place and our family and friends who are watching. Like, we're doing well, okay? We are doing well. Like, I'm not preaching about this because I think, oh, you got a lot of wrong-uns. It's because actually I think we need to share that out there. Like, what the fruits of the Spirit that we bear in this place and that we share together, we need to share in the world because they need to see what it is that makes us different. They need to see that actually the person of Jesus Christ, he's worth following. There is something special there, something worth pursuing, something worth looking for. And also, let me encourage you to, I've not gone through the fruits. We don't need a love is this, and I think you guys know what they are. But please, 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 spend some time in that passage this week. Look at that scary list of the works of the flesh and go, okay, I'm gonna recognize where I'm going wrong, and I'm gonna give that, I'm gonna confess. And I'm gonna look at these fruits, and I'm gonna say, Lord, I need more of that. Nurture that in me, Lord. Let's recognize it in each other. Let's nurture each other. We want to be led. We want to live in the Spirit. We want to be guided by the Spirit. So I got to Salisbury. And I saw these friends. And you know what? I don't know what they saw. But what I can tell you is I made an effort. I participated. I did not rely on God's good fruits just to be evident. I thought, how can I make them evident? In every conversation that I have, I want to show that I have the fruits. I want to be open and honest about the God that I follow, even though I knew that some of the people in there would think me strange for doing so. Hey, if I look strange to you, I'll be the strangest guy in the room. I want those fruits to be, I want them to be so evident in all that I do. And you know what? I will fall short, because we all will. And every day I will get up and I will ask God to fill me anew in his spirit. That when I walk out into the street, when I walk Joe to school, when I go and talk at National, when I stand up in front of you, I will ask God, let me work, Lord. Let me nurture the fruit that you have made available to me, that you've made available to all. Let that be evident in my life. Let me stand out. Let me live by the Spirit and let me be guided by the Spirit. I'd love just to finish and pray for us. Father God, you give your Son Jesus Christ for us on the cross so that we can have that personal relationship with you. And Lord, we do long and we expect those personal experiences of the Spirit in our lives. But Lord, today I pray for myself and for our church family that we would be filled with your Spirit and that the manifestation of that would be the fruits that we bear to each other and to the world. Lord, I pray that as we go from this place this morning and about our everyday, that people would see something different of us and that they would be able to identify us as followers of Jesus Christ through the fruits that we bear. Lord Jesus, I pray all of this in your precious name. Amen.